Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Are you struggling with weight loss? Scared of getting the shot? Golo is a better way to lose weight. No prescriptions or insurance required. Just take one Relief supplement with each meal and follow the Golo for Life plan. Golo's Relief contains 7 natural plants and 3 key minerals to target body fat and combat the stress of dieting. Golo is clinically proven to work and safely and effectively controls sugar cravings and hunger while minimizing muscle loss, so you feel good and inspired to reach your goal weight. Stop going with the latest fad starvation diet. Stop depleting yourself and robbing your body of energy. Start living your best life today. Golo is effective and affordable, so before you consider drastic measures like the fad diets and new weight loss injections with potentially dangerous side effects, including significant muscle loss, learn more about Golo at Golo.com. Again, that's Golo.com. Join the 5 million who have already made the switch to Golo today. Visit Golo.com. That's Golo.com.
Who's playing linebacker? I mean, I have an idea who's playing linebacker.
Zach Bond. Yeah. The big man, you know.
That probably is. Do you believe him? Do you think it's going to be Zach Bond?
No.
Welcome back in, everybody. A Monday edition of Birds 365, a scheduled release week edition of Birds 365, joined now by our good friend Jeff Kerr from CBS Sports. Jeff, welcome to the show, man. How you doing this week?
Hey, pretty good. It might be a surprise for you guys what the schedule is. It won't be for me, just so you know.
Did you get the whole schedule so far?
Yeah, I have it. Yeah, I can't say anything, but John, we're not going to be too happy.
If you're talking from a logistics standpoint, yeah, I don't care about the action. Yeah, I'm not going to be happy or sad by the opponents and the timing, but if it's logistical related, yeah, that I might have an issue.
Work related too, John.
Well, that's a lot of night games. I know that going in. But from the perspective of the NFL schedule, you know, I think it starts week one. One of the bigger issue for the Eagles is that we know they're starting against Green Bay and San Paulo, Brazil, and that game should be at Lincoln Financial Field against legitimate NFC playoff contender, Jeff. I think that's a bad spot for the Eagles. They better win that game, because if they don't win that game, it's going to come back to haunt them in playoff seeding. I guarantee it.
It is, and that was one thing I had, like, when they picked Green Bay as the opponent. And look, Green Bay just played – I didn't think it was going to be Green Bay initially, because they just played an international game 2 years ago when they played the Giants in London. So I figured, okay, the Browns haven't played overseas in a while. Not even overseas, outside the country in a while. Pittsburgh, I didn't think it was going to be Pittsburgh. I thought they wanted to keep that in-state battle in-state. So all signs pointed to it being the Browns, but
yeah.
If you...
Well, that's what I picked. Yeah, I was like, well, because in the past, Jeffrey Lurie is, you know, he's tried to stay away from international games, and to give up a big home game like that against Green Bay. Not that Cleveland's not a good team, because they're a good team, but you know, in this league, if you're going to lose a game, it's better to lose it out of conference than it is in conference. Always, always, yeah. always.
One good thing about this whole Eagles are they gave up a home game to play this game in Brazil. They don't have to do this for another 8 years. So it is a shame, though, it happened to be Green Bay on the first week of the year on a neutral field. I don't know. It just feels like I'm watching college football to open the season instead of the NFL.
Yeah, I don't like it. Yeah, I'm with you.
We got one game we know so far before. Well, Jeff Kerr knows all of them. As
unfortunately, yes.
That's a broadcast partner. That's what the broadcast partners get as they fight for. You know, the schedule was originally set to be released last week, Jeff. But, you know, they got to wrangle. Now Netflix is probably going to get, you probably already know, they're going to get those Christmas Day games.
Which frustrates me personally because I'm big into the whole TV contract thing. There is a network, not CBS, that has a right at those Christmas Day games if the NFL chooses. And the NFL just, I don't know if they bypassed it. I don't know if that network declined to broadcast those games on the Wednesday. I don't know why they would, but.
NFL probably gave them the big FU and said, hey, guess what? Netflix is going to pay us.
By the way, the whole Netflix thing is going to be intriguing because I don't even think it's going to be like a Netflix production. I think it's going to be an NFL Network production.
Probably. That's the way they generally start those things. The NFL, it's interesting because like Netflix got WWE away from NBC Universal for $5 billion, but they do their own production, WWE. So it is going to be interesting. Usually the networks do the production, like CBS does the production of their particular game. So it is going to be interesting how that shakes out, but only for nerds like you and me. but it is an interesting part of it. The NFL can do what it wants when it comes to TV. Everybody else is leaking oil except the NFL. So, but at the same time, the schedule has become more difficult because they have so many partners. And you guys at CBS are fighting for certain games and don't want to lose certain games. And every other network partner is saying, well, you got to give us something. You got to give us some of these good games. So it is difficult to put together.
Yeah, I know just from being a CBS employee, I mean, again, you knew it was going to be the Ravens and Chiefs for the opener, but that's still a big loss for us because that's one of our marquee games. But you got to please NBC, you got to please ESPN, you got to Amazon. Amazon was never going to get that game, but it was primed to be the kickoff game. And, you know, it was like last year, I think Fox would have initially had the rights to Eagles Chiefs, but ESPN wanted that for Monday Night Football. And with this whole new TV contract, teams are going to play more primetime games. It's not just the Eagles, it's everybody. The 1 and 4 o'clock games are kind of going by the wayside.
Oh, it's the worst thing ever.
Yeah, they're
worst
really
thing ever.
Especially the Eagles. I mean, they're going to have more primetime games than everybody's thinking. I mean, they got this
they're going to have a lot
offense, but look, we only know one game in the Eagles schedule. I'm not going to make my official prediction yet, but I do not like that setup for the Eagles in Brazil to start the season versus the Packers. I think the Packers are a little bit slept on, maybe even a little bit underrated. A lot of pressure on the Eagles with the new coordinators, with Saquon Barkley, with the big offseason. Eagles could start 0-1 in Brazil. That is not out of the equation.
It definitely isn't. And, you know, they're going to get a nice little layoff after that game. I'll just say that. But
yeah, you don't need a layoff after the opener. Well, you do if you're traveling to Brazil. But, it is what it is. I don't like the spot for the Eagles. That's what I look at when I do get the schedule. And I'll be texting you for the schedule as soon as we get off. When I do get the schedule, all I look at is spots. Like a couple years ago, the Eagles had three consecutive road games, and number three was on Christmas Eve in Dallas. And I said, that's a bad spot. That is a bad, bad, bad spot. Turned out to be right. So I think there's There's certain things you can learn from the schedule, but most of it is, all right, who's healthy on this particular week? And, you know, are you playing well? Are you not playing well? So most of it is just logistics and dates and times, but it can be there. You'll find two or three nuggets that are meaningful. And I think this year starts week one. I don't want to call it a must win game. It's not must win, but if they lose that game, it's going to hurt them in the playoff seeding.
I get this a lot from a lot of people. Who cares about the schedule release? I'm like, well, shouldn't you as a fan like care if you're planning on seeing this team home or on the road?
Well, I've always said I'm more in the category. Like I'm not a big schedule release guy. I think it's overblown. As I said, it's times and dates, but for people that do travel, for people like us who have to cover games, fans who want to travel to games, it's meaningful because you want those logistics and you want to be able to set up your travel and things like that. But to the average fan that's sitting in front of home and the television set, I don't think it matters. I think it's overblown. You already know who they're playing. You just don't know the dates and times. You know every opponent. You just don't know the dates and times. So, but credit to the NFL for turning this into an event, as they turn everything into an event.
I do miss the days, though, where it just dropped on a random Tuesday in April. It was like
mid-April,
Yeah, I miss those days. I remember you kind of got excited for it. I remember like being in classes at college, and it's like, oh, the Eagles schedule's out. Oh, you know, the NFL schedule's out. I'm like, oh, cool.
And I always the most riveting 10 minutes of radio would be Mike Francesa saying, "That's a win. That's a loss. That's a win."
By the way, John, as someone who covers the entire league, I am going to dread Christmas week like no other. I was mad last year on Christmas. I'm going to be furiously.
You know who should be mad about Christmas? The NBA.
NBA got completely robbed of Christmas Day. The NFL said,
that used to be their day. And last year, the NFL said, oh, Christmas is on a Wednesday. We're not going to play games on a Wednesday.
And then they changed it to the owners meeting.
Yeah, yeah. No, we're going to play because Netflix is going to pay us. So we're going to play.
NFL always finds ways to make money no matter what they do.
Yeah. So sorry, NBA. Enjoy your playoff run because you're going to get screwed on Christmas.
Shout out to SMD. She points
I,
out.
I agree with SMD too. I really do.
It is a big deal for people that are loyal to going to the games. And for us, it's important because we're figuring out what days we're working all damn day for 18 to 20 hours. So that's why it's important. But Jeff, we're getting ready for OTAs. Anything catching your eye on the Eagles coming up in the OTAs? A lot of people are talking about some of the key position battles. What is Jeff Kerr looking for as we go into OTAs?
Who's playing linebacker? I mean, I have an idea who's playing linebacker.
Zach Bond. Yeah. The big man,
probably is. Do you believe him? Do you think it's going to be Zach Bond?
No, I don't. Vic's great, by the way, but he got asked about the linebackers, and he couldn't come up with the names. He was going to his back pocket to pick out the roster, and we're like feeding him names. It's not a good situation at linebacker for the Philadelphia Eagles. I got to believe Howie knows that. He knew it last year, but it's, you know, part of the strategy. They don't value that position. So, you know, the first two names he brought up were Zach Bond, who we all thought was going to play outside. He says he can play inside. And Devin White, who signed for $3.5 million, despite what you've heard elsewhere or when his contract broke. That ain't good. That ain't good. And the Kobe Dean, we'd know, first of all, he has to prove he's healthy from the foot injuries. He's had trouble finding footwear that he's comfortable with. A lot of issues there. He's undersized. And oh, by the way, when he was on the field, he didn't look that impressive. And then you start talking about Jeremiah Trotter Jr. as a fifth round pick might be generating the most optimism. that is not a place you want to be at a particular position when, I don't want to say you're counting on a fifth round pick, but he's the guy with the upside and the optimism right now.
It's, to me, it's borderline malpractice what they've done at that position. It's, you know, they're trying to get everybody hyped up. Oh, we signed Devin White. Well, Devin White ain't any good. So maybe he could be good in Philadelphia. But again, I'm not counting my chickens on that one. I was very upset with how they've handled this the whole offseason. And now you're putting pressure on a kid, a fifth round pick, mind you, who, if his name was John McMullen, no one would give a rat's ass about.
They'd enjoy it.
Yeah, probably would. Yeah. But his name's Jeremiah Trotter Jr., and we know what his dad did. His dad didn't play right away. In fact, his dad is second. You know, Emmett Thomas used to rip his dad to shreds back in the day. So, look, it took Jeremiah Trotter about 2 or 3 years before he actually became Jeremiah Trotter, and I just don't want to see his kid getting thrown into the fire because – they don't have anybody there. And there really isn't anybody in free agency right now that moves the needle. The best linebacker available was on this team last year, and that was Zach Cunningham.
Yeah, I think they're going to bring Zach back. And Jeff, to your point, I mean, he's already got sky-high pressure and expectations because of who his father is. And then year one, you have nobody on the roster. It's going to make it a whole lot tougher. But I'll ask both of you this, and forgive my ignorance. Is there anybody out there that Howie could make a move for still in the offseason? And obviously we don't know anybody that could be traded, but normally, you know, like, okay, this guy's going into the last year of his deal. They're probably not going to pay him. Maybe they look to move him. Is there any linebackers out there that the Eagles could be targeting or available in the trade market potentially?
That is something, if you think about the CJ Gardner-Johnson trade, that's what you're looking at. You're trying to find somebody who's right on his rookie deal, who is out of sorts with their particular coaching staff, but you think might have some upside. So that's the kind of stuff that generally unfolds over the summer. Maybe they have a bad camp and the Eagles still believe they have an upside. Maybe they're having contract issues like CJ was, and it could take advantage of some of the anger there and make a deal from that perspective. But I think that would be the best case scenario. I can't come up with a name for you right now because most people before training camp, they don't have these types of issues. If somebody with some talent gets beaten out somewhere else that actually values linebackers and has extra bodies, then maybe you try to seize the moment with that particular player, but that's just something that has to, you know, kind of ease its way in training camp. Somebody's got to be playing poorly, falling behind, and you say, well, we could rescue him. We can give him a chance to play, and I think there'll be multiple players because the Eagles are so weak at the position.
Yeah.
The question is, to you, Jeff, I think they're talking themselves into Devin White.
I think they are too, and that's what's scary. It's, you know, yeah, I get it. He was a former first-round pick. He had a tremendous postseason when the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl. That was 4 years ago.
One of the biggest anomalies ever, by the way.
Oh, and by the way, when you're hearing stuff coming out of Tampa that he checked out, he might have, you know, he's immature. And this is from players. This isn't from, you know, reporters. This is scary stuff, and you hope to change the scenery helps this guy, but you're putting an awful lot of pressure on the guy who's trying to resurrect his career because you think he's this when he's that. I just don't understand why it was Devin White.
Man, it's like, you know, how he did this. It was Saquon number 2 overall, Devin White number 5 overall. Kenny Pickett, former first round pick that they liked, but obviously weren't going to take a quarterback coming out of the draft. Who else? What other first round picks did they sign this year? But anyway, a lot of people made a bet. Oh, Mekhi Becton. A lot of people made a big deal out of that. The Eagles trying to resuscitate their careers and what a great value it is. What a great strategy it is. Boy, people forget. They did the same damn thing last year with Marcus Mariota and Terrell Edmonds and Rashad Penny, who everyone thought was Jim Brown coming in and still thought he was Jim Brown by midway through the season. Why aren't the Eagles playing Rashad Penny?
I said it. I watched Rashad Penny play, and in training camp, it was, wow, this guy really isn't going to play. And I know Rashad Penny wasn't too happy.
And even if you want to go as far as Justin Evans and Greedy Williams,
right, those were second round high picks. Right,
yeah, high picks.
Yeah, by the way, that's one thing I want to tell people with the whole Isaiah Rodgers thing. I know people got excited about that. Well, people were excited about Greedy Williams when they signed him too, and didn't even make the team. I'm not saying Isaiah Rodgers is going to make the team, but buyer beware here. It's especially now, there's a surplus at cornerback. People are saying Josh Jobe ain't going to make this roster. Are we sure about that? He's a really good special teamer.
He's very good. It's very difficult. Here's guaranteed corners on the roster. There's only four. And I'm talking 100% ironclad guarantee. Barring injury, of course, which can affect anybody. But if they're healthy, it's going to be Slay, Mitchell, DeJean, and Ringo. Those are the four guaranteed.
I agree with that.
100%. Everybody else, including Isaiah Rodgers, Josh Jobe, Eli Ricks, they're fighting for jobs.
Is there any roster out there? Like, John, we talked about this last week. There are teams probably looking at the Eagles, watching how the training camp goes, and waiting for them to make cuts because there are NFL caliber corners on our roster that there's just no room for. Are there any teams out there?
I agree. They're going to cut corners that are NFL level corners. But I thought you were going down the route of trading. And yes, I'm sure there are teams. I'll do some research. I'm sure there are teams that are deep at linebacker, normally the ones you think of. Baltimore let Patrick Queen go. They always have linebackers. Pittsburgh picked them up. They always have linebackers.
They got Peyton Wilson, so they always
have Peyton Wilson. They always have linebackers. So there's certain teams
have good linebackers.
They lost Oren Burks to the Eagles, but they have good starting linebackers. I don't.
By the way, John, that's my bold prediction. Oren Burks might be their best linebacker.
It's not that bold.
I mean, we just ignored him for like 15 minutes of their organizational malpractice at the position.
But I would say about the Eagles corners, and it looks a heck of a lot better than it did now than it did last year. But 90% of it is unproven, completely unproven. As a corner, I mean, let's be honest, Ringo and Ricks, and even if you want to go as deep as Jobe and Mekhi Gardner is probably going to move to safety anyway.
I think he could be a good safety in this league. I really do. It's just they're deep there too, especially if they moved DeJean out there a couple of times.
Yeah, I mean they're all unproven. And you know, guys like Zach McPherson, he's probably not going to make the team. Isaiah Rodgers, I mean, yeah, for all the people that thought he was, going to be a starter and now don't care because Quinion's here and Cooper's here. He could be cut if he has a bad summer. We were talking about Deshaun Watson. I don't know why, but we were talking about Deshaun Watson. You spend a year off the field, there's no guarantee.
He hasn't been the same player. Look at Calvin Ridley. Jacksonville was more than okay with saying, we are not matching that offer to Tennessee. We're just not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big hit, even for young guys. If you lose a full season, so the assumption that Isaiah Rodgers is just going to come in and make this team, now he's going to play well in the summer. And he's going to be in a deep competition because the Eagles already know Ringo and Ricks and those guys.
Yeah, and is it fair to say they'll put an emphasis or a – they like the guys they have in-house more than somebody like Isaiah Rodgers, who they brought in as a reclamation project?
Well, I do think people jumped the gun on some of the young corners, but
Keely Ringo, though. I mean, they gave a spent a fourth round pick.
Yeah, Keely's not going anywhere. But I'll tell you right now, here's Keely's problem. He stunk in practice.
He's not a practice player.
He stunk in training camp. I mean, stunk on ice to the point where.
Hey, those are the words you use with you and I were watching practice last
year. Yeah, I mean. To the point Eli Ricks passed him up as an undrafted guy. And then they were forced to play him late in the season, and he looked really good. So you start thinking to yourself, well, maybe he's what Jeff said. Maybe he's just a game day player. He's not a practice player. That's not going to float with Vic Mangio. Vic's not going to trust him unless he performs in practice.
Vic's, I'll put it as nice as I can. Vic's a hard ass.
Yeah. It's not going to work. So I have some concern. He better figure out he's got to bring what he does to the games to practice. And if he does that, he'll be fine. And I think he'll be really good. John, but if he doesn't, he's going to have a real difficult time breaking through.
John, I wanted to ask you, you going up to New England with me?
For practice?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go up for practice. Practice is meaningful.
You know what, that joint practice, if it's – I'm hearing it's going to be one. That's going to be entertaining because Jerron Mayo and Vic Fangio, they're just like two I can't even think of the analogy right now, but it's – that's going to be something, just watching those two.
Yeah, they're always fun. They were. Yeah, think about last year with Kelsey taking aim at Zaire Franklin. That was entertaining.
That was an entertaining practice in general.
Yeah. Colts got the better of the Eagles in that practice.
We all thought
the Colts were bad. Maybe that showed they were better than most people thought.
You know, I made my judgment on the Browns being a playoff team after watching them play the Eagles in a joint practice.
I made my prediction that Myles Garrett will be the defensive player of the year because they could not even attempt to block him. I mean, it was one of the most impressive. It's interesting. The most impressive practice performance I've ever seen is Tom Brady against the Eagles in joint practices, which was one of the funnest things ever.
What year was that?
Yeah,
that's going back when Belichick when Chip was here.
So I believe 13, 14, right?
Yeah. I believe it was that Brandon Boykin was here. I remember Brandon. All I remember is Brandon going. They were doing individual drills on the far right field. So Jeff knows what I'm talking about. So you get right up there, and I was watching the Patriots receivers against the Eagles corners. Every single Eagles corner walking back, expletive, effing this. Every ball was perfect. The ball placement, it was unbelievable. And I remember Brandon Boykin for some reason heading back, I believe. So it's been a while. Then there was Darren Waller was a rookie wide receiver, sixth-round pick out of Georgia Tech with the Ravens that nobody knew who the hell he was. And he just destroyed the Eagles in red zone. Big 6'6 guy just going up and catching balls. And we're like, who the hell is this guy? And he turned into Darren Waller. And, man, I lost the train. Who were we talking about? There's a third one. But, yeah, joint practices are fun. And it really, especially in training camp, because guys get bored going against each other. But when you see guys like Tom Brady do that, it was amazing. It was amazing. Ask guys who were down there. It was amazing.
I'll tell you what, seeing the Ravens in joint practices, not against the Eagles, but seeing them in joint practices, honestly, that's what makes the summer fun. You get through those first 2 or 3 weeks, you're like, okay, let's play some real football here. You know, you're not going to get in the preseason. You get in the joint practice. It's honestly a shame the fans don't get to see this stuff.
And Miles was the one I was talking about. Myles Garrett.
Yeah, Myles Garrett.
Right, yeah.
Myles Garrett was And also Justin Tucker. I've never enjoyed watching someone kick a football until I saw Justin Tucker. I just stood there in awe.
You know, John, the most entertaining pregame, practice anything this whole year was the AFC Championship game. I'm getting there. I'm eating my food. I'm sitting in my seat. And I'm watching Justin Tucker just kick warm-ups because I'm amazed at Justin Tucker. And then all of a sudden, Travis Kelce gets in his face about something. I'm like, oh, here we go.
And that went viral everywhere. Jeff.
Oh, yeah. I had to ask Travis after the game, and he said, can we keep this off the record?
I said, we can. That was actually Justin's fault. It was Justin's fault.
Yeah, and the Ravens PR is like, he does that all the time. I'm like, yeah. They don't care, guys. They don't care.
A little mind games maybe from Justin Tucker.
Oh, yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. But the ball coming off his foot, Jeff, it's like a shotgun blast. It's unbelievable.
How about the 61-yard kick he kicked in the preseason against the Eagles last year?
Yeah. He is something else. Carly Lloyd was there that day, too. She was banging through 50-yarders with Justin Tucker after practice. And now she would get a head start, like a kickoff-type approach, but it was still pretty impressive.
That was when all the hype was, can Carly Lloyd kick in the NFL?
That was what that was from. Now, again, she was, approaching it like a kickoff, so she was getting the head start, but it was still pretty impressive. And Justin, yeah, he's just like, oof. I've never seen anything like it. We had his kicking coach, Randy Brown, on the show a couple years ago. It's like he made Randy's career. He's like the kicking guru because of Justin Tucker. Yeah. Anyway, I digress. But Myles Garrett last year, defensive player of the year. I said it at practice. Jeff was probably there. I mean, that guy's.
I think it was you. I think it was you, me, and Ed when you said that.
Yeah. So I got that one right. But that's because how good he was. And remember, he's going against Jordan Mailata. He's pretty good. Couldn't block him.
Yeah. I want to ask you guys, everybody's been talking about the corners and the linebackers all offseason. What's the rotation look like on the defensive line? Obviously, Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis are set for bigger roles this year with Fletcher Cox gone. You lose Hassan Reddick and you replace him with Bryce Huff. What's the rotation look like on that D-line, and do they have enough depth there at that position?
I think they're honestly okay at that.
I like Milton Williams. I think Milton Williams is a good player.
I do too. Yeah. I'm glad you pointed that out, Xander, because I'm a lot higher on Milton Williams. And it's funny because I always forget about Milton Williams at times, but
I actually thought there was at times last year when he played better than the two Georgia guys. I thought he was a great.
At the end of the season, he did. He did. Yeah. And they're going to make a decision on him going forward. But, we're talking about the edge. And look, Josh Sweat, Bryce Huff, more than okay with that. It's going to be a redshirt year for Jalen Hunt. So I don't want to really add him into the mix there. But I'll bring back my Hassan Reddick thing. I understand why they did get rid of him. I'm not happy about it, but it is what it is. I think you hurt some depth there, but look, and again, John, this brings back our whole Zach Bond thing. Where are they playing him at?
Because
I thought he was an edge rusher.
What about Nolan Smith? He's like the forgotten child.
Nolan's got to step up in a big way.
Dama, when we had Dama on the right after the draft, he had a great, he's like, everybody's talking about, the Jalen Hunt pick. A lot hinges on Nolan Smith for that pick because Nolan didn't give you anything, and he was a first-round pick.
This is how little Nolan did last year. So I did like a tweet, and I listed like the Eagles' first-round picks at their last first-round pick in every position, and I caught it right away after I sent it. Oh, yeah, I forgot Nolan Smith was picked in the first round.
Yeah. And
that's just how little he did last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, people have given up on him too quickly, though. If he can and remember, he had that shoulder problem, so he got that fixed, hopefully, procedure in the offseason. Probably he's one of those guys who had to get in a NFL weight program, strength program, so he should be better year two. If you have him with Hop, Sweat, and BG, I think you're fine. And then you can kind of wait for Jalen Hunt to develop and give him the so-called redshirt year. And then he got a bunch of other guys.
What about that Julian Okwara? Paul Mancini brings him up in the chat. I forgot about him. They picked him up right after the season.
Yeah, he's one of the futures guys. Howie made a big deal about them because it was a weak undrafted year. Weak year in the draft late because of the transfer portal, NIL.
COVID, and that signing, I don't even think the Eagles technically announced their future signings this year. Did they, John? I don't remember him doing it.
No, they did. Yeah, they did.
It was under the radar for sure.
Yeah. Well, nobody cares about future signing, but they did give him some money. So, you know, relatively speaking, not a lot, but an indication that they like him somewhat. His former third round pick, I think. They also signed Terrell Lewis, who's a former third round pick, as an edge rusher.
We always forget you can put Milton on the outside too if you need to.
Yeah, but that's that's more of like a five technique.
Yeah, he's not going to do much.
More of an old school 3-4 defensive end. God forbid, I just said 3-4.
Yeah, 3-4. Come on, John, it's not 3-4 anymore.
No, well, everybody thinks it is. We're going to talk about that though. Hopefully, we're going to educate some people. On how the Eagles play defense. But I think Nolan Smith is a big part of the edge rotation. And if he's not, they're probably going to have some issues.
By the way, you know what the best question was for that you guys did with Vic Fangio on Thursday? Will the
linebackers.
Besides the linebackers, are the edge rushers going to drop back in coverage? Of course they are. Vic should have been like, they're all dropping back.
By the way, Vic's great. I love Vic because he finally confirmed what I've been saying and people have been shitting on it for years. Yeah, he would have been the defensive coordinator if the timing worked out. The timing didn't work out, so Vic confirmed that. He also confirmed he was a consultant helping the offense, which for some reason. Yeah. Well, did we? We knew, but a lot of the fans refused to believe that. And he confirmed that. So I was happy that Vic tells the truth. He does not care about not telling the truth.
That's why I love that about Vic. That's why I think fans are going to like him. Hey, John, what was the saying you said about Brent Covey? He's too honest for him?
Yes. Maybe. I don't get this, like, Britton Covey, I get why, because he's listed as 5'8 and 172, and that's generous. I don't know what Britton really is, but
he's my height. He's 5'6".
He, you know, famously as a rookie, went to park at Lincoln Financial Field, and the parking attendant didn't believe he was an Eagles player.
Yeah, that was tough.
Yeah, so I get why people don't believe in him. He was the best punt returner of football last year.
And he should be the punt returner next year.
Yeah, I think he will be. I think people are writing him off. I think he will be, too. I think they'll bring him back as the punt
returner. Oh, by the way, here's a little tidbit for you. The quarterback likes him.
Yeah, the quarterback likes him. And by the way, Jeff knows this. This guy approaches special teams like he's Peyton Manning. He's got notebooks. He predicted big returns last year because of what he saw on film from the opposition punter and punt return units. And he would occasionally make us aware that we're going to have an opportunity, you know, down the right sideline or something like, and sure enough, there he'd bang one for 30, 35 yards.
He had the 50 yarder against the Giants. And he said that he wasn't surprised that based on the film he watched.
Every time I think of Britton Covey, I think of our friend Derek Gunn, who calls him Crash Test Covey, because every time he runs out there, he's getting crushed.
Yeah, and he did, and you worry for his safety. He kind of figured that out in year two. Most punt returners are good if they are good at it because it comes natural to them. They don't have his attention to detail. So I think people thinking the Eagles can get better at punt returner with Anaya Smith or even Cooper DeJean. And Cooper's really good at it. But Cooper's not going to do it because he's going to be playing on defense.
Yeah,
so Cooper, they're not going to want
I don't think they're going to put him in harm's way.
Anaya Smith might give him a run, but I think that that job should be Covey's and Covey's only, just based on last year.
Man, he was good last year.
Yeah.
Now, he'll never be the guy because of his size that has a job, but if it's a legit competition, nobody's going to be close to him.
But by the way, John, the whole Britton Covey, them not believing he was an NFL player, the link thing, that's probably the third on the list of three stories that I've been a part of over the last 20 years of Philly athletes. I was in a Xfinity Live one time after the Sixers game. This is during the process era. And TJ McConnell was on the Sixers.
TJ?
Yeah. So
he's playing player right now, playing great.
So I'm standing behind him, and I know it's him. And I'm talking to him. We're talking about the game. You know, we're getting the drink, and he told me, buy me a drink. Okay. He goes to the bar. They don't believe he's a Sixers player. They're like, there's no way, like, this guy's a Sixers player.
That doesn't surprise
he looks like a suburban
either.
White guy. He's like, you're not a Sixers player.
Yeah, no one even knew who he was. It was like me and my buddy and TJ McConnell. And yeah, this is like 2016. And we just laughed. We're like, okay, this team sucks. That's probably why they don't believe him. And then this is about, I want to say about 2008. Yeah, it was 2008. It was after a spring training game for the Phillies. They played the on-deck series, and you go to – so we go to Chickies and Pete's after the game. Ryan Howard's there with his fiance at the time. And, you know, we say hi to Ryan Howard and, you know, tell him, you know, wish him good luck on the season, stuff like that.
Former Eagles cheerleader, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You know, so we're talking about that. And there's, like, four tables near us. They have no idea who he is. And we're like, that's Ryan Howard. They're like, who? Like, he only won MVP 2 years ago. He's first base for the Phillies. He hits like 40 home runs a year. Oh, yeah, this is before the bandwagons jumped in. So I'm like, how do you not know who Ryan Howard is if you're like a Phillies sports fan? But
takes everybody. But what were we talking about? I lost my train of
Britton
thought.
Britton
Covey. Oh, Britton. Deep in the. We're going deep in the weeds, but yeah, from Anais, you know, I focus more on third receiver. You don't need a punt returner.
What about kick returner though? Like everybody's talking about the kick returner. Who's going to be the kick returner for the Eagles? They have
well,
like
that
so
I think
options.
Is the
now that's the question.
Yeah.
I mean, and it depends. I don't know how much change there's going to be from the new rules perspective, because they watered it down too much.
Yeah.
So I still
it's not think exactly like the XFL, right?
Yeah. I still think people are going to kick it out of the end zone and figure out that the 30 is better.
By the way, I was beyond furious when I saw an article. This is the most radical change since the 2-point conversion. I'm like, give me a break.
It would have been. If they brought it out to the 40,
like they should have.
And yeah, like they should, but they knew they wouldn't pass it. So, you know, they had to water it down to pass the rule. I just don't think it's going to be that much different. I think it's going to be a bunch of people kicking it out of the end zone.
Honestly, the most radical change I've seen since the 2-point conversion was when they changed the extra point and they moved it back to where's John? It's a 30.
Yeah, it is a 33-yard kick.
Yeah, it's a 33-yard kick. And then Mike Tomlin decides, you know what? I'm going crazy. I'm just going to go for two all the time. And
I hated that. I hated that change at the time. Now I've gotten used to it, but I didn't like it.
Well, you can't tweet anymore. Eagles up 7-0 because you really don't.
Yeah,
know.
You got to wait. You got to wait. I didn't like that. It's an over-legislated league. I'm on record with
that. I'm trying to remember the kicker. For the Saints, that I'm trying to remember when the Saints did that like incredible play at the end of the game. It was in 2003. They did like a bunch of laterals and so they scored a touchdown. The kicker missed the extra point, and it ended up not going to overtime.
That's big. I don't remember that game. I remember the Blair Walsh game. I remember, you know, the Tony Romo game.
Didn't you cover the Blair Walsh game?
No. thank God that game was in.
That was freezing. It was that.
Yeah, it was outdoors. It was at because they were building the new stadium, and they played the one year at the University of Minnesota outdoors. That was brutal, but that was like a 2015,
2016.
Something. Yeah, somewhere in that range. But the kick was like 23, 24 yards.
Missed it.
And he was never the same.
Rob watching the snap to me, and I never want to bring it up to him every time I talk to him, but I got to bring it up at some point. I feel like that
messed up. Well, to his credit, I mean, he took responsibility because I think it was a bad hold, but he was like, if it were a watermelon, I should have kicked it through.
But, so but you know what's crazy about that? I thought he was going to score after he botched it. I'm like, oh, he's going to score anyway. And then amazing play.
Yeah, that was a bad, bad kick. But yeah, it's like Ray Finkel for Ace Ventura fans. and nobody saw Ray Finkel. Nobody saw Ace Ventura. The Eagles were in that Super Bowl.
They were in that
Super Bowl. He made up Ace Ventura Super Bowl. It was Eagles-Dolphins, I believe. Yes. Well, obviously, Dolphins. Yeah, it was Eagles-Dolphins.
The only Super Bowl the Eagles could make at the time. This is pre when they started winning regularly.
Anyway. Jeff Kirk,
thanks for joining the show, man. You were great, as always. I'll end it with let's go wide receiver three. That's we didn't talk any offense. We were in the weeds on defense. We were in the weeds on special teams. What do you think of wide receiver three? I know John mentioned maybe a Nia Smith there. It's been a tough stretch there with Zach Pascal and Quez Watkins and Julio Jones and Alamide Zaccheaus. What do you think of wide receiver three?
I'm still not going to sleep on Paris Campbell. I think if Paris Campbell's healthy, he's got a shot. I do like Anaya Smith there. I think Britton Covey's going to have a shot there.
Paris Campbell hasn't done much in the NFL.
No, he has not.
I mean, he has not done a lot.
No. Remember, the Eagles liked him, too.
Well, they loved him. Well, the personnel did. Jeffrey did not. Jeffrey loved J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Yeah, he's got some familiarity with Nick, though, Paris Campbell.
Yeah, who cares? He should. I mean, the guy's done nothing. We talk about Devin White is a star compared to Paris Campbell.
Oh, he is. Yeah. Well, yeah. Devin White's done something in the NFL, Paris.
Paris Campbell. He somehow he ran a 4.31 coming out. So he's got this tremendous speed coming out of college at Ohio State. And he's done nothing to show it at the NFL level. I think he averaged 5.3 yards per catch last year. Now, granted, which is almost impossible, even for a slot receiver at the NFL level. Now, granted, I guess for all the Saquon Barkley apologists, including Jeff, Penn State guy, I guess you could blame it on the supporting cast because nobody blames anything on the individual players with the Giants. It's always the supporting cast. Where does it begin? Where does it end?
You know, it's funny with the Giants. My colleague Cody Benjamin came up with his quarterback rankings this past week, and he got roasted for two things. Brock Purdy at 2 and Daniel Jones at 32.
Well, he should have got roasted for both of those things.
Yeah, he did. He did. And I said to him, Cody, I'm not a Daniel Jones fan either, but 32?
32. Now, come on. Jones actually proved his worth last year when he got hurt.
He won a playoff game.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, because Jody hates Daniel Jones as well. He's a mediocre quarterback, but he's a legitimate NFL starting quarterback.
I will say this about Daniel Jones. I think wherever Daniel Jones goes, I think he will have more than a fair shot to start for that next team he's on.
Yeah. He's mediocre. He's
the definition of mid, as the kids say.
If the Giants want to extend Daniel Jones again, I'm an Eagles fan.
I'm all for it
all day long.
No, I mean, there's only five guys that you can really put above everybody else.
It's the haves and the have-nots.
Two are playing opening night, by the way.
And he's not in that group to say the least, but I'm just saying you learned how good he was by watching Tommy DeVito play. I mean,
still remember John on Christmas Day with Tommy DeVito. John had the closest Bob Barker impersonation I've ever. This guy sucks.
He's so bad.
He's terrible.
You saw Tyrod Taylor come back and lift that team against the
Eagles.
They
almost won that game.
Yeah. Well, they won that game. They
Well, no, in week 16 they almost won that
they
game.
Almost, yeah. But yeah. Daniel Jones is not terrible. He is certainly not 32nd. And Brock Purdy, look, wonderful year. I mean, by it second, by, I assume,
Purdy
and I did not see Cody's rankings. I assume Patrick Mahomes is number one.
Patrick Mahomes is number one, yes.
Well, then you got to start with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, at least.
I think Lamar was six.
That's a little low for Lamar.
Yeah, as I said, two-time MVP, youngest two-time MVP ever.
Yeah, and I'm not even getting into the young guys and their A Bears and the
A Bear, you mean Stroud, Herbert?
Yeah, what I'm Bobby Haber.
Hey, you're one of the Bobby Haber days.
I'm having a stroke on air with Crip and A Bear. I'm completing Eagles tryout wide receivers and New Orleans Saints quarterback. I've been on Bobby Haber's show. He's got a show down there, by the way.
Yeah, he's pretty popular down there. Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm trying to, Vic Fangio was a coach. He wasn't Bobby Haber's coach, but he was a coach when Bobby Haber was there.
No, there's so many good quarterbacks. I mean, come on. Jesus.
But by the way, isn't it kind of upsetting Vic Fangio basically produced two Hall of Famers and Ricky Jackson and Sam Mills, and he doesn't have a stinking linebacker here?
Different era.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about, though, the Eagles are convincing themselves they're sold on their linebackers. I think maybe the front office is. I do not think Vic Fangio is for 1 minute convincing himself that his linebackers are competent.
By the way, I want to make it clear. I think the Eagles are correct to devalue the position. I don't know, John.
Are they, though?
They extremely devalue the position.
I think they've taken it too far. I agree. I still agree with the general consensus.
Why don't they zig when everybody zags when it comes to the linebacker?
I said that earlier when Howie made that comment about the running back. I mean, when Dre Greenlaw got hurt in the Super Bowl, that changed the game.
Oren Burks came in.
Yeah, Oren Burks came in. Maybe that's the deal. So, he was half decent against Travis Kelce.
Who's the best linebacker in football is Fred Warner. In my opinion,
by far,
you guys may think differently.
Roquan Smith's up there too.
He's up there, but you can pick Roquan. But their value is not equal to Myles Garrett, whoever you want to say the best cornerback is, even the best safety. I agree with the devaluing of the position.
I just
think they've taken it too far.
I still remember back in when they let Trotter, when they rescinded the tag and let Trotter go. I still remember it. But 2002, you're watching Barry Garner in camp.
Tempranera.
This guy ain't it. And then they signed LeVon Kirkland. He wasn't it. Then the next year, you go Mark Simoneau and Nate Wayne. I'm like, they ain't it either. Like,
A crap load of good linebackers back then. I'm saying today, as we speak today,
there aren't any.
Everybody's looking for coverage players. Ultimately, and we're going to talk about this later, about what Vic is going to do, I think you're going to see a whole crap load of big nickel, three safeties on the field, and you're going to see a safety essentially playing linebacker.
I think it might be Sidney Brown.
It could be Sidney if he comes back. It could be Cooper. I think you're going to see a whole lot of it.
Reed could do it too.
Reed's going to be back playing safety, though. Reed's going to be on the field, but he's going to be playing safety. And I think it's Sidney's in the conversation. Cooper's in the conversation. And that's how I think they're going to handle the linebacker. I think there's only going to be one linebacker on the field. Unfortunately, that might be Devin White. But there's only going to be one linebacker on the field.
Have we just given up on the Kobe Dean?
I haven't.
I haven't either. He's hurt all the time. That's my only issue.
I haven't passed the eye test. I'll tell you that. I mean, I don't profess to know how good linebackers are.
My biggest problem with Nakobe is he can't find cleats. I mean, if you're a 23-year-old kid and you can't find cleats that are comfortable for you, something's going on. It's not like, you know, somebody my age who needs orthopedics. I mean, something's going on.
What do you mean? I've never heard that. He can't find cleats?
No, he had a cleats that were discontinued at Georgia, and he liked them. And for whatever reason, now he can't get comfortable.
I've given some NFL players my advice on cleats, and they kind of laughed. And I said, well, I don't use the metal cleats. Well, what do you mean? I'm like, I did not use metal cleats when I played football. I didn't. I used the rubber ones and didn't care. Grass, turf, it was one less thing I had to worry about before.
Jeff Kerr, standing at 5'6", what position did you play in football?
Would you believe if I told you defensive end and linebacker?
I was
a lot bigger back then.
Jeff has lower body explosion. He's like Saquon.
I was fast. Let's put it that way. My coach decided to say, you know what,
he's doing a lot of squats. You're going to see
Kobe Dean back in his day.
I can't squat with Jalen and Saquon. I can squat back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Jeff, thanks for joining the show, man. We appreciate you joining in, as always, giving us your insights, sticking with us for almost a full hour. So, Jeff, thanks for joining in, man. We appreciate it.
Yep, you got it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, bud.
There's Jeff Kerr. We'll get to a commercial timeout. We'll come back. And Johnny Mack, we'll talk defense. This is a defensive show today. We're talking a lot of defense. We talked a lot of defense with Jeff Kerr. But I want to explain. I want to get into this Vic Fangio defense. Let's give the listeners a little bit of a lesson today from Johnny Mack on how the defense works, the versatility, why it's not a 4-3 or a 3-4. A lot of versatility in the defense. So we'll come back and we'll talk about that. I want to thank everybody for tuning in on the show, Twiz and Daz, James, and anybody I missed in the chat box. We appreciate you guys watching. Make sure you drop us a like. Stay tuned. We'll be right back on Birds 365.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.